If you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Mark. We're going to chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. And if you're going to be using the Bibles in front of you, you can find that on page 717. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. We read these words. And as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it, bring it to me, bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'What are you doing? Why are you doing this?' tell them, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street and tied it at the doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus, they threw their cloaks over it. He sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is coming King of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Look forward to hearing what God has to say to us through his word this morning. God bless.
Thank you, Taylor, for sharing that reminder with us that we need to bless the Lord and to bless his holy name and to praise him for all that he is and all that he does. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to please open up to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. I want to ask you today the question of a donkey. For a long time, I questioned, you've got Jesus, who's the King of Kings. And they had horses in Israel. And in fact, horses were not rare. There were a lot of them. And yet, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the day that we celebrate today, Palm Sunday, he chose to ride on a donkey. And for years I thought, isn't that just a little bit demeaning? No offense against donkey lovers, but horses are just cooler. And I really wondered about that. Isn't a king coming into town? Isn't that worthy of a beautifully bridled horse, that one of those high steppers, that kind of comes in and pride? I'm not talking about the beer ones that drag the thing along behind them. I'm talking about the high steppers, that just kind of have that proud spirit about them. Isn't that more fitting? And so I really, really wondered about that. And so I decided I was going to do just a little bit of digging to find out why a donkey. And it was kind of interesting, the conclusion that I came to and what I arrived at. In the time of Jesus, whenever a king would ride into town, there was always pomp and circumstance. And if that king came riding into town on a horse, it generally meant to the people that war was in the forefront, and that there was going to be some issues and some problems when he came into town on a horse. When a king wanted to come into a town and demonstrate that his allegiance to the people, when he wanted to demonstrate his peace-like nature, he came into town on a donkey because they were not considered a war animal, but they were considered an animal of peace. And so the people would look at how the king was coming into town, and they would determine, okay, do we run and lock our doors and shut things up and go and hide and leave the city? Or do we line the streets and begin to praise? Hail to the King who has graced us with His presence. You see, Jesus came into Jerusalem in a sign of peace. He was coming into Jerusalem, he knew, for the fulfillment of what his whole purpose was. And the whole purpose of Jesus coming was to be able to have people make peace with God. That's what all of his teaching was about. That's what all of his living was about. That's what he worked at. He worked at helping people be able to find peace with God. And so as he comes in to town riding on that little donkey, that little colt, that little foal, if you will, as he came riding into town, people were acknowledging his kingship and the fact that he was coming in peace. And so they're proclaiming, Hosanna, praise to God in the highest, glory to God. You know, because Jesus was coming to make peace. Now, in order to do that, Jesus knew that his purpose was going to cost him his life. He wasn't taken off guard when the disciples ran the other direction when he was arrested. But in fact, he declared, this is the very purpose for which I came. It's kind of interesting, because when Jesus comes back, he's coming back on a horse. And at that time, he's not coming to make peace. He's coming to set all things in order. He is coming to take care of the issues of sin. He is coming to put Satan on the run. He's not coming in peace when he comes back. But he's coming back on a war horse, to bring purity back to this world. That's why in the book of Revelation, as you look at what takes place in the city of Jerusalem, and when Jesus fights the battle called Armageddon, when he fights that war, it says that the blood will run to the horse's bridle, be about 4 feet deep, because he's coming back as a warrior. And one who is reclaiming the glory of God in a world that has compromised, where nothing is holy anymore and nothing is sacred, where God is not honored. Jesus is coming back that second time, but he's not coming on a donkey. We celebrate the God of peace as we celebrate the entrance into the city of Jerusalem. We celebrate Christ's vindication when he returns. This particular passage of Scripture I want to share some stuff with you out of this. I only have five things to share with you today out of Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. I want to share with you this thing. I want to share with you the approach. Secondly, the acquisition. Third, the application. Fourth, the assignment completed. And then fifth, the appropriate praise. And as we look at this, let's remember that as Jesus is establishing this moment, the purpose of this moment is not to get the streets to be lined with people crying Hosanna. That's not the purpose. The purpose is Jesus coming back to the city to accomplish the purpose of being able to bring peace between God and His creation. He's coming back for the purpose to die. That's why He was coming back to Jerusalem at this moment. He was coming in order to bring peace. And you see, that's why when they had the trial that Jesus was on trial for, and you've got these people that are standing up and lying, and the scriptures tell us that, you know, they went out and hired these people to come in and lie, and Jesus stood there silent. Wasn't the time for war. Oh, it was a time for His personal war. Yes, the battle that He raged in the Garden of Gethsemane, where He prayed, Father, if there's some other way. But the garden where He prayed in submission, nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. But as He is coming, He's coming as a demonstration of peace, and how God wants to have peace and peaceful relations with His creation. Now, let's look at this. I want you to notice, first of all, the approach. Look at verses 1 through 3 of this 11th chapter. And as they approached Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples and said to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? You say, the Lord has need of it, and immediately He will send it back. Now, As you go through some of the other gospel accounts of this, you find that this particular command of going to bring a colt is literally mentioned as a donkey. All right, there's that symbolism that people in that age are going to connect with. Terry Daniels, across the road every once in a while, has a donkey over there. Terry, do you have any right now? No, you don't have any right now?
No.
Okay, but he'll have a donkey over there. And I'll tell you, they're hilarious to watch. And I'm really not afraid to go up to a donkey when it's by a fence and start petting it. And, you know, it's very peaceful. Very peaceful. I'm sure that they've got ticked off at Terry every once in a while, and those back feet kick a little bit. But, you know, that's kind of the way donkeys are. But nonetheless, they're kind of a peaceful, gentle, spirited animal. And, you know, as we're looking at this whole situation and the circumstances that are going on here, Jesus is looking at this from that peaceful moment in which God is reaching out to mankind. And so He's going to Jerusalem, and he tells His disciples, you'll find this colt tied up when you go into town. Go ahead and grab it. Bring it to me. If anyone says anything to you, just tell them the Master has need of it. Not a big deal. Now, if someone were to come up and grab a hold of Terry's donkey and just start walking down the road with it, Terry would probably get upset about that. You know, that's my donkey. Where are you going with my donkey? What are you doing with my donkey? You know, and he would probably be a little upset about that. But Jesus, you see, had already prepared the hearts of those who would be in authority over that. He already declared to his disciples, look, go, grab it, bring it here. We have need of it. And if anyone asks you, what in the world are you doing? Just tell them, the master has need of it. The Lord has requested it. And they'll just let you go. And so that is the approach that Jesus is using. They're approaching the city, but he wants to use the approach as a moment of peace, not war. And so secondly, look at the acquisition that comes about as exactly as Jesus declared it, verses 4 and 5. And they went away and found a colt tied at the door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of the bystanders were saying to them, what are you doing untying the colt? You see, just exactly as Jesus had declared, this is what's going to happen. It's all right. Boys, I've got it under control. I will even tell you what to say. What are you doing untying the colt? You know what amazes me? It amazes me that these disciples were so obedient. They just obeyed him. If God were to ask you to do something that's out of the norm, would you obey him? If God were to ask you and tell you, you know what, I want you to go to your place of work, and I want you to go to such and such a department, and just yell at the top of your voice, Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and any of you who wish to meet him, I would love to introduce you. Would you do it? Or would you question and refuse and disobey? Indications are these two disciples stepped right out. They went. They found things exactly as Jesus said they would be. They obeyed him to the letter of the law. Obeying to the letter of the law, I'm going to tell you, people, is not our strong point anymore. The modern-day church doesn't obey to the letter of the law. The modern-day church obeys to the letter of convenience. If it's convenient for me, I'll do it. If it doesn't cause me embarrassment, I'll do it. If it isn't going to be difficult, I'll do it. If I can do it on my terms. If I can do it in my way. These disciples would have missed a phenomenal blessing if they would have had things done their way and in their time. But because they obeyed immediately, they had one more opportunity to be amazed at Jesus' insights and at his glory. Had they not obeyed, we may have missed Palm Sunday as a yearly celebration within the church. Worse yet, had they not obeyed, we may have missed the cross and the resurrection and been without hope. Has anyone missed the cross because you haven't obeyed? Is there anyone that God has spoken to you and said, I need you to talk to this individual? And you refused because it might be a little uncomfortable, might be a little embarrassing, or you may feel ill-prepared or ill-equipped. Has anyone missed heaven because you just haven't determined that you will obey God without question? Obey God without question. See, I want to tell you something, folks. When God lays an individual strongly on your heart, it's because He's speaking to them already. And it's because He's dealing with them and their situation and their circumstances. And He wants to use you like an unridden donkey. He wants to use you to carry Him into this person's life and into their existence. So be a disciple. Obey God without question. And see the blessings fall. Because the blessings will come. Third, I want you to notice the application here. And I've kind of tied it in already, but the application is found in verse 6. And they spoke to them, this being the people who were bystanders, spoke to them just as Jesus had told them they would. And they gave them permission. And they gave them permission. They spoke just exactly the way that God said it would happen. Exactly the way that Jesus said, hey, look, go get this thing. Come, if anybody says anything to you, you just say the Lord has need of it. And immediately He will send it back here. He'll send it back with you. So go ahead. It's all right. It's all right. When Jesus tells us to do something, He has a great blessing in mind for us. That's why He tells us to do it. Can I tell you something? He doesn't do it to build our ego. He does it to build His kingdom. He'll help us in our spiritual confidence and in our spiritual competence if we'll obey Him without question. But He will work out every detail, and it'll be worked out in advance. And all you've got to do is obey. Obey God and be blessed. Because God rewards obedience. But He doesn't reward stubbornness. Number four. Notice the assignment completed. Look at verses 7 and 8. And they brought the colt to Jesus and put their garments on it, and He sat on it. And many spread their garments in the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. You see, the purpose of this ride was a king coming into town to bring peace. And folks, there's only one way to peace with God, and that's through sacrifice. And Jesus, in that week, became the perfect sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God who had been slain before the foundation of the world. The plan had already been established. God wasn't going to ask us to die for Him to bring salvation. God came to die for us to bring us salvation. You see, he wasn't going to ask us to do anything that he hasn't already done. Jesus left heaven to come here to a sin-infected world. You may have to leave your house to go to a sinful neighbor. Jesus left heaven to come here to a place where he was rejected. You may have to leave your house to be rejected by someone else. But Jesus will be there for you. He will help you. He will encourage you. He will give you hope in the midst of difficult, difficult times. I wish I knew who these disciples were that went. But I don't know. I'm not sure what good it would make, what difference it would make if I knew which ones they were. But I've often wondered, okay, is it Peter, who later that week would have denied Christ three times? Was it James and John? You know, the sons of thunder. And this was God's way of bringing them humility. I don't know. But I do know this. They obeyed God, and the assignment became completed. And so Jesus enters into the city of Jerusalem as a king, coming in peace, not coming to bring war. Coming to bring peace. And when we understand that, we find, number five, that the praise is appropriate. The praise here is appropriate. Look at verses 9 and 10. And those who went before and those who followed after were crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Glory to God for this one who has come. For he has come for the purpose of restoration. He has come for the purpose of reconciliation, reconciling a lost, wayward world to God. Many of them unfortunately thought that he was coming just to restore the nation of Israel to freedom away from the tyranny of the Romans. But Jesus was fighting a far worse enemy than the Romans. He was fighting the very throne of hell, Satan himself. Glory to God. He brought us salvation because he came in peace. He gives us hope for spiritual peace. He gives us hope for eternal life because of the cross. On this day, people bless his name. In 3 days, people will curse his existence. In 7 days, the opportunity for peace between man and God will have been completed. This coming week, take time. Take time to thank God for the peace that passes understanding that he willingly gives to you. Thank God for the fact that the king didn't try to overstep his authority by coming into town on a horse, but he came on a peaceful animal to bring peace with mankind. Let's stand. I'm going to ask you at this time to take your hymnals. We're not going to be having a normal invitation song. I'm not going to do that. I want you to know the altar's always open. If you have found you don't have peace with God and you'd like to have peace with Him, we invite you to come because we would love to introduce you. But I want you to think about this coming week and the events of this coming week. And I want you to leave here ready to take out of this place the name of Jesus Christ with you. The name that at which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord. There's going to come a time when the vilest of sinners is going to bow before God and worship Him. It's coming. More quickly, probably, than we wish, but it's coming. But until then, we have the opportunity to take the name of Jesus with us into this world. So I invite you to do that. So we're going to sing number 116. Number 116. And I'm going to ask you to take the name of Jesus with you. But again, if you would like to receive Jesus as your Savior, you step out and come as we sing. All of God's people said, Amen. He is the hope. He is the life. Now I pray that each and every one of us might leave this place today and leave with the name of Jesus on our lips. Leave willing to praise Him and to follow Him without question and obey Him, whatever He asks us to do. And now, may the grace of God the Father, the power of the Son Jesus Christ, and the love of the Holy Spirit rest upon you and fill you with all glory and hope. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.